Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And let's all agree that we live in unsettling times. And we want to settle ourselves as much as possible. What can we do to make our lives more comfortable during such turmoil? And I've had shows before about emotional freedom technique, EFT. And we're going to do another one now to help us all have a wonderful tool to keep us grounded, to help us think straight, be in more comfort. So to do that, I've asked Steve Gottlieb to come back and talk to us about this wonderful technique and how we can use it in ways that will help all of us. And there are, we're going to use the current state of affairs in the world to work from. So I think this is something that all of us will be able to take advantage of. So Steve, welcome.
Well, thanks, Peter. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you are, because a lot of people have really enjoyed the shows that we've done before. It's helped a lot of people, and it will continue to, because it's an ongoing tool. I actually turn to it quite often. There are ways that it's just easy to use, and it's handy because you use your hand and fingers. And so let's start off actually talking about that. There are likely people who haven't heard any of our shows before and don't know what emotional freedom technique is. And we can just, you know, quickly go over some fundamentals, even as a refresher for people who know about it.
Yeah, sure. Well, emotional freedom technique is also known as tapping, and some people refer to it as a form of psychological or emotional acupressure. Acupressure has a way of stimulating the energy meridians that run through our bodies, and when we're disturbed about something, being something that we're stressed about or something that upsets us, those energy disturbances can be sensed and worked with through the various different energetic pathways of the body, such as the chakra system. And EFT uses the acupuncture meridian system. So when we tap on a sequence of acupressure points or acupuncture points, while we're focused on a problem, we are helping the body to release those blocks, those energy disturbances that are resonating with the things that are bothering us. And we're also opening up a place in the brain where the negative imprints that we're responding to, the things that are upsetting us or triggering off, and we can feel that upset, it literally allows the brain to stop doing that, so that you can be calm enough to access parts of your own resources of the thinking mind and saying, you know, I don't have to let this bother me if I don't want it to. When we are stressed about something that really bothers us, we don't have the ability to do that. So tapping, so that not only grounds us, but it literally changes the way the brain responds to situations that would normally be distressing or disturbing, whether they're happening to us now or it's something that's coming up that was triggered off from a past trauma.
And there's, there's been a lot of research about this and so much experience with it that has proven itself out. And it's kind of interesting to think what's happening when you're tapping these meridian points. Somehow it energizes pretty much the entire meridian system, which energizes the body in ways that freeze it. And it can be looked at scientifically, physiologically. Actually, there have been studies, you know, that look at your blood before and after tapping these points and see that that's changed. Certainly pain is reduced. Often movement is restored in ways that
definitely
before. So
specialty of mine.
Oh, good. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity to these tapping points that are not just about emotions, it really frees the body, because the body really is the trickle down of who we believe we are and how we are, and it's represented in how the body operates. So the struggle, our inner struggles, often end up becoming our outer struggles as well.
Yeah, well, the body essentially operates according to the instructions that the brain gives the nervous system. So by tapping on the acupuncture points while we're focused on a problem, we're using the energy meridian system as a way of signaling microprocesses in the brain that are telling the basically the amygdala how to, and the hippocampus, how to reprocess the stimulus of the thing that's stressing us. So if we think about a situation in our life that disturbs us, our ego might think that we're entitled to feel this disturbed. But if you really look at that much more deeper, you have to ask yourself, well, I may feel this, I may sense this, but do I really want this to disturb my body's energy system this much? Because everything that disturbs us is going to stress us, and then everything that stresses us limits our ability to be able to respond appropriately the best way, and also can have a negative effect on our health. So when we tap, it literally stimulates biological processes in the body that reverse that and actually turn on healing processes and gives us access back to the part of our neocortex, our thinking brain, that allows us to be able to see more clearly through a problem.
It's amazing that humankind has only had this in recent years.
Well, we've had acupuncture for about 5,000 years, but I'm not quite sure we had the kind of modern problems today that stress us out on a daily basis that we can apply this to.
Right. And also acupuncture can be very calming and freeing. It has, its own unique strengths. And this is almost like a shortcut to it.
Well, not only is it a shortcut to it, but it's energy psychology. It's a combination of using acupressure for the energy stimulation while we really are exposing ourselves to the feelings and thoughts that we have about disturbing issues. And when we combine those things with the tapping, it literally allows parts of the brain to be able to cognitively shift our perception so that we can see things in a light that we may not have been able to see them before. And that's very, very, very healing.
And it actually, what's revealing is our own consciousness and how it influences us unknowingly. But because we're using EFT and doing this tapping, it creates a window, in a sense, to the way we're stuck and how to open the window.
Well, literally, that window is a great metaphor for something called memory reconsolidation, which I've mentioned before. It actually, when we focus on a problem or an old trauma and we tap on it, it literally creates an opportunity, a window of about a 5-hour period where our brain becomes neuroplastic. And we can literally start to then use reframing ideas and affirmations to change the way we cognitively process a particular problem or situation, so we can be more resourceful when we're trying to solve a problem, or we can be less reactive in a negative way when we're dealing with a problem. There's positive benefits all the way around.
Well, what I like is that this also opens up our awareness to how we're stuck.
Yes,
by focusing on how we're stuck. When I've used this with people, I've seen, and you and I use muscle testing, and you can muscle test somebody, and if they make a statement that they think is true for them, and then all of a sudden their muscles go weak, then their body is showing that it's not true for them.
Yes, it's not true for them on a subconscious level.
And yet, right, on a subconscious level. But on a conscious level, they had no idea that they weren't holding the truth of what they were saying. And so it shocks people to see how their body is telling the truth about them.
Yeah.
And that in itself really helps a lot to understand ourselves better. And then part of this technique is to make a positive statement about ourselves. Like I deeply and completely accept myself, mm-hmm. even though I'm upset about something.
That's right. But these are very, very important concepts. The I deeply and completely accept myself would be the cognitive restructuring side of the energy psychology. And the recognition that you are suffering because of a problem is the exposure therapy part of the energy psychology. But the tapping is what creates the neuroplasticity in the brain when you apply those two techniques. And what happens when you muscle test somebody or, there's an energy disturbance when they try to think about something. Now, if they're thinking about a problem, their arm is going to test weak, their muscle is going to go weak. But when you try to affirm something that's positive, and there's subconsciously parts of you that don't agree, you're going to get that same thing, and you're not consciously aware of it. And in energy psychology, this is a very well-known phenomenon. It's called psychological reversal. So we treat the psychological reversal anytime we do a EFT process, and it's what we call the setup phrase. And the way we start an EFT process is by locating the first tapping point that we're going to use, which we call the karate chop point, but it's on the side of the hand, midway between the knuckle at the base of the ring finger and the wrist. Call it the karate chop spot, because if you were to karate chop something with the intent of breaking it, that's where your hand would hit it. So we tap there repeatedly while we use this little formula. We put the problem in the box. And we say, even though I have this problem could be anything. It'd be something that disturbs you. It could be something that you're worried about. It could be an event that happened to you that still upsets you when you think about it. So we'll just call it the problem. And you say, even though I have this problem, I deeply and completely accept myself. While we're continuously tapping with one hand on the karate chop point on the other hand. And we say this three times, and the idea here, for general purposes, is that we're treating that subconscious psychological reversal, which may send disturbing signals to the brain just by recognizing the problem. Even though I have this problem, I love and accept myself. Even though I have this problem, I'm okay. Even though I have this problem, I'm doing something about it now with this positive treatment with EFT. So any positive statement will work. I deeply and completely accept myself is the standard one that just about everybody who does EFT uses. But we can change that up.
Yeah, I like the fact that you're introducing other scripts for this that are really helpful.
Yeah, and as you become familiar with this process, you use more and more variations of the language. So when I'm working with somebody, I might spend a lot of time tapping on that karate chop point because I just heard 20 minutes from them telling me about all the various different aspects of what their problem is. So I'm taking their language and I'm putting it right back into this tapping process. Even though this happened to me in this way and it really bothers me, I deeply and fully accept myself. Maybe we can create something very specific as an example, and I can play around with language to give people a different idea. We don't have to be stuck with the language, but many times people get confused about the different kind of language to use. So we want to keep it simple for people who are just learning about this technique. You got to figure out what your problem is and then put that problem into simple language that you can tap on. And sometimes people get stuck because it's too general, but we want to be more specific.
And so we can start off being general and then look for ways to detail it.
Sure. That's a very, very good thing to do, especially if the problem is really disturbs us when we think about it. So we have to take a step back from it, recognize that we have this disturbance. And very often what we want to do is we want to look inside the body because that's where we're really feeling the disturbance. We might think that our mind is disturbed, but if we really go to the disturbance in our mind, we might notice that this disturbance is agitation or anger or regret or some other definable emotion that when you tune into your body, you can actually feel a place where you might be holding this in your body as a tension or a pain.
Right. That's very helpful. But let's look now at some of the words that we can use because we want to transform this. And the positive words we've already said, but how we approach the negative, let's come up with a theme now that we can all agree on is something we might all need to tap about.
Sure. That's why I try to do in my group tapping sessions.
And we'll talk about that too, because I think, and you can actually, let's just say, talk about it right now since you brought it up, is that you hold these group tapping sessions that obviously a group consciousness is pretty powerful. So you think that's even more powerful?
Well, there seems to be a couple of things that are happening when we do the group. First of all, everybody gets to experience other people's sense of what disturbs them. And, you know, they may be able to relate to it in their own terms, even though that particular thing hasn't happened to you, you might be able to relate to the way that person responded to it. But there's a phenomenon in the EFT tapping groups called borrowing benefits. So if we were to think about something that bothers us, and tune into it and give it a name, like this thing that bothers me, and tune into how much it bothers you and give it a number on a scale of 1 to 0. Anything more than a 4 or 5 certainly merits tapping.
1 to 10, right?
Yeah, from 0 to 10. Right. 0 meaning it's not the 10 means it bothers me so much I would choke or cry even just trying to talk about it.
Right.
But once we establish that, we're sort of making an intention for our subconscious to pick up on the tapping. And then what we do is we take a particular individual situation and we do detailed tapping on them. And while we're tapping through the sequence, and I'll explain that in a minute, everybody is tapping along. So they're tapping, and we're tapping to reinforce, you know, the energy that's being transmitted to the person that we're tapping with for their healing. But we're also tapping on ourselves, and our subconscious knows exactly where to take this healing energy and put it in terms of how it might be helping us on a subconscious level. So when we're done with the tapping rounds and we're done with the tapping group, people can see a marked shift in the person that we tap for, because they're visibly less disturbed by the problem, or all of a sudden they may have had a realization that the problem that they were really concerned about wasn't the real problem, that something deeper surfaced, and now we've got something in their life that was a specific traumatic event or a memory that we're tapping on, and that's very, very powerful. So when everybody is done, they can go back and tune into their own level of disturbance that they started off with, and they may notice that the thing that disturbed them at a level of 5, 6, or 7 may have dropped significantly or disappeared altogether. We call that borrowing benefits.
Oh, that's wonderful. So it's good to have friends. So let's talk about what tapping you're doing. You're tapping the karate chop place, which I was realizing, you know, that's the small intestine 3 spot on the side of our hands.
Yes.
And I was thinking, now, why is that such a valuable point that you would focus on it so much? And I'm realizing the small intestine is where our gut is.
Yeah, it's where our gut is, the root of the problems. The story, as I understand it, is that Roger Callahan, who invented these techniques, and originally called them thought field therapy, experimented with many very points on the body to tap on, and found that that was the one that seemed to work the best for the setup, which really addresses the psychological reversal I mentioned previously. What he did was he found a sore spot somewhere in the upper chest, in the zone underneath the collarbone, between the shoulder and the ribs, and we would make circles in there over that area and be maybe affecting lymph nodes and other kinds of points where there was congestion there. And then karate chop tapping just became the standard default that seemed to work when it evolved into emotional freedom techniques.
Right. And I think that was like the lung one point that he found on the chest.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then now you've said that there is 7 out of the 14 tapping points that are known that are more important. Which 7 are they?
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the process, and then I'll go through and explain the tapping points as we go. So let's just say we're disturbed about something that we saw on TV. A lot of people seem to be news addicts these days, and there's no shortage of things that will upset you if you're paying attention to it and you're letting yourself get upset by these things. And that's a whole nother conversation for another program, the way people allow themselves to be be getting upset by things that they feel shouldn't be happening, but they really have no sense of control. So the tapping at least calms you down. I just use the news now for information and entertainment. I don't get nearly as upset about anything as I do because I'm tapping all the time. You're starting by tapping on the karate chop point and expressing a true statement about what it is, even though the stuff on the news really bothers me. I deeply and completely accept myself, even though every time I turn on news, I cannot believe the level of craziness that, you know, I'm hearing from our elected officials. I deeply and completely accept myself, even though I can't believe how many people there are in this country and in this world who see things completely differently than the way I do. I deeply and completely accept myself. So I just basically gave you three versions of languaging on the same problem, and you can go on and on and on until you exhausted every possibility. Okay.
That's
the setup phrase. And now what you want to do is you want to distill that all down to like one central problem, and you can call it the news. If that's what's disturbing you, let's call it this news problem. Just call it the news. So the news becomes the reminder phrase. And we'll start by tapping through one round of the sequence points. Those are these other 7 points that I mentioned, while we're focusing on the disturbance about the news. And the first point is that we're going to tap on with two fingers the area where the eyebrow meets the bridge of the nose. That's the inside upper corner of our eye socket, also known as the eyebrow point. So we start tapping there, and here's my tapping. Tap, 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 tap. You know, between 8 or 10 times, or as much time as it takes you to say your reminder phrase, which is the news disturbance.
And you can tap lightly too.
Yeah, just, you know, make, you know, it's not a feather and it's not a hammer. It's somewhere in between. Tap, mm-hmm. tap, 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 this disturbance about the news. And that's my reminder phrase. And then we're going to switch to the next point. If we follow our eyebrow to the outside corner of our eye, adjacent to the eye socket there, tap there, this news disturbance. And then underneath the eye, directly below the pupil, if we're looking straight ahead on the bony part of the eye socket there, tap, 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 my disturbance every time I turn the news on. Now, we can start tapping underneath the nose above the lip, start tapping there, and we can adjust our story. I can't believe what I hear every night. And then we tap below the lower lip above the chin point in the middle there, and we tap again. I said, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I get so upset. Why do I even turn the TV on? Right? Now, the next point we're going to tap on is called the collarbone point, and people who know acupuncture points, it's K27. If we locate the collarbone, which is the big bone that connects our shoulder to our breastbone, we go to the center of the breastbone and go back about an inch and down an inch, we're going to find a little spot right below where the collarbone meets the ribs there. In some cases, it's a little soft. So I use all fingertips of my hand and tap till I make sure I get that whole area. I'm tapping on the collarbone. I'm tapping on my K27 point. I'm tapping on the breastbone a little bit. Tap, 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 tap. Same language. I can't believe how disturbed I get when I turn this TV on.
That's great. Yeah.
And then the next point that we typically tap on is if we reach across the front of our body and we start tapping on the side of our ribs about 4 inches below the armpit. We raise our arm up and we can tap right there. Roughly adjacent to the level of our nipple. We tap in there, and again, I use four fingers to make sure I'm getting the whole area there. And I'm just trying to be a little bit more dramatic about my disturbance. I can't believe how these people on TV behave. All right, another.
But when do we say the positive statement there?
Well, at this point, we're not saying the positive statement. We're staying on the negative stuff. And a lot of people don't understand why we do this, because we want to make sure that we're focusing on the thing that disturbs us. And once we bring that down low enough, say if we think about something that we heard somebody say on the TV that really upset us, and we tune into how upset we are, and we give it a number, and we say, that's how upset I am. I'm like a 9. I'm livid. I can't believe this is happening. We want to tap on that negative stuff until that 9 comes down significantly. And eventually, you're going to notice that your mind gets tired of telling the negative story. You're going to start to intuitively start to add positive statements. You're going to say things like, you're tapping on the eyebrow. I can't believe these people on the TV, side of the eye. Every night, they say something worse and worse. Underneath the eye, I'm really getting tired of this. Underneath the nose, I don't know why I get upset. On the chin, why is it that I have to get upset? On the collarbone, maybe I don't have to get so upset. Underneath the arm, it's just the damn TV. Top of the head, no, it's not the TV. It's another point that a lot of people use, is the center of the top of the head. No, it's not the TV. This is real. This is politics. This is important. On the eyebrow, is it? Side of the eye. Can I really sit here and be upset and expect that anything positive is going to come out of that? Underneath the eye. Actually, I have no idea. Underneath the nose. All I know is that when I get upset, it's not good for my digestion, right? On the chin. Maybe I don't have to get this upset. Collarbone. Even though I see things that are upsetting me, I can choose to be less upset about this because being upset is not any good for me. Underneath the arm, it's not any good to get upset. And then back to the karate chop point. Even though I really get upset, maybe even more than I should, when I see all the crazy news on TV, I can tune in and really sense that what I'm upset about is something that I can't really do anything about. So I'm going to tap on this so I can give myself a little bit of rest from being so upset and give myself permission to have a nice dinner and digest my food properly and let it go. It's just another day of craziness on the TV. Don't have to take it that seriously. Now, hopefully, the part of your brain that has been calmed down by upset will accept some of those positive reframings.
But now, let's translate this into anything in our lives.
Yes, right. Anything that, in your lives.
Yeah. So we can keep going over these points, coming up with different ways that we're unhappy about something.
Yes.
And then reframe it into that I'm okay anyway, and deeply and completely accepted.
That's right. So that reframing is built right into the setup phrase, but it's not until you tap enough on the disturbance itself until your brain will actually let you reframe it positively. Because right. it won't feel right until you do that. If you try to just reframe things too quickly, the brain's going, no, I'm too disturbed. So we've got to tap on that disturbance. And when you knock that disturbance down,
and we'll notice it.
Yeah, we can start tapping in the positive stuff.
We'll notice sometimes, how it's knocked down. This is great, yeah. Steve. We're really getting to the end of the show now. Mm-hmm. So you are Steve Gottlieb, and you live in Westchester, and your phone number and your website, what are they?
My phone number is 914-997-7873, and my website is empoweryourtrueself, all one word, .com.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Steve, this is so wonderful talking with you. Thanks
so much
for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Certainly my pleasure.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.